Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as...
I really think that Jen and Judy should definitely be gay. At least Judy. She's Linda's character. Linda, what's her name?
Linda Cartanelli.
Cardi B.
And what's the other one? Christina Applegate. We're talking about Dead to Me. It's a new Netflix series. If you haven't seen it, they're queerbaiting the fuck out of us.
Yes, they are.
But watch it anyways. It's pretty good writing.
It's really good. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', brosa? So, as you can tell, Maitha's not here today, but Broza is. Yo. And I just want to introduce you to the homie.
What up? What up?
What'd you call yourself on off mic? That shit was hilarious.
I don't remember. I cannot tell you right now.
I think you referred to yourself as a friendly neighborhood Korean.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did say that, didn't I? You're a friendly neighborhood Asian queer lady.
Ay.
I think that's what I referred to myself as.
Air horn. Wah, so, hey, friend of the pod. What's goody? Today we're gonna do a little something different. Maitha's not gonna be here. We're gonna be talking Asian rep, and of course I'm not Asian, so
thankfully, yes. For you, I am.
Yes, look at this. So I'm gonna shut up when she talks and we're gonna listen, you guys, and we're gonna learn some things today and learn more about kimchi, apparently.
Yes, kimchi, and if you don't know what that is.
Yes, you're going to learn today, so it's educational for the Latinx folks. We got unity today. This is what we have. This is the union. Okay.
Yes.
So, what the fuck? What is up? What's good with you?
Not much, man. Thank you for having me on your show. I love it so much. Long time listener, long time fan.
Thank you for putting up stickers everywhere. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I wish that I could have put up more stickers, but I'm kind of a baby and I have like a thing with authority.
Oh.
That if I get caught, I'm gonna like go to jail. So.
Oh, okay. But you were in Florida, so I'd be scared of the, like,
yeah.
I don't know, judicial system as well. Like, I would do anything not to get caught up in it.
Yeah.
Anything.
I think mostly I was afraid that people were just gonna pull out their guns and just like pew pew,
yeah,
you know what I mean,
because
that's like a real thing.
It's
there.
A super Florida Texas thing, and I mean the fear doesn't go away in both states, so
yeah, you know,
I
they
feel you.
They're arming their teachers now. Did you know this?
Wait, in Florida?
Yes, it's like a real state law now that like teachers in Florida are allowed to carry arms on campus. Like,
oh,
we're talking like
my God.
Public elementary, middle school, high schools across the state, they can carry guns in their schools. Like, that's what?
Like, yo, Miss Frizzle is out here banging that thing.
Miss Frizzle! Can you imagine if Miss Frizzle had an episode about guns? Now, children.
Today, we're going to load this Glock. Everybody, do you hear that? That's the sound of a 45. Now, let's try 50 cal, guys.
Today, we're going to learn how to shoot a sawed-off shotgun.
Straight through the door, guys. Let's learn today. Like, that's some Florida shit, bro. So, like,
that's the fucking wild, wild Florida, dude. This shit is crazy.
See, fuck Florida forever. I never want to go there in the daytime, nighttime, sober, or drunk. I'm really good. I never want to go to Florida. Not even for Miami, not even for Cuban sandwiches. I'm really good. I'm super Gucci. Mm-hmm. Never going to Florida.
Miami's just really expensive. And I'm so sorry for anybody who's listening in Florida, but y'all need to figure that shit out.
Oof.
I know you're fighting the good fight. Shout out to Marjorie Douglas. That's who they are. Yeah. Marjorie Douglas High School, fighting the good fight, March for Our Lives, Emma Gonzalez, David Hogg, all those kids.
They're better than us in so many ways.
So many ways.
Also, we're saying this as we're in Texas. So
yeah, we're in Texas. We're like not that much safer, but like safer.
I mean, I don't know, bro. I was at the grocery store last week and I saw a guy with a fucking gun, and I don't know.
Ooh.
White guys with guns is terrifying for me, so I don't know. I don't know if
it's terrifying for everybody except white people.
In the hood.
You know, what do I know? I'm just a suburban baby.
Yo, when shit pops off, all I'm saying is hood is probably going to be the safest place to be because there are so many fucking guns. If the second American Civil War happens, I'm going straight to South Oak Cliff and hanging out with my raza and my black folk and never leaving.
Yo, can I come
right
with you,
there.
Though?
Yes, you're allowed.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're allowed to come. Be safe.
I appreciate that. I'm going to bring my parents, too.
We got you.
family.
Too many guns in my house. We got you. Every person can
wonderful
have one. Anyways,
yeah, really, we really went off topic really there. Off so topic. Sorry, guys.
So, anyways, in lighter news, you showed me this fucking amazing ass YouTube video.
I really did. If anybody is familiar with Pedro Pascal from Game of Thrones, he plays the Dornish King.
Ooh, so fine. He's a Dornish prince.
Prince. So sorry. Mm-hmm. Dornish prince. Don't come after me, Game of Thrones stands. I'm so sorry.
Bro, we gonna get people on them emails, bro.
I know. I'm so sorry. Dornish prince. Apparently, they have the best wine, and Pedro Pascal is one of the hottest men. Love him so much. And I also recently learned that he's Chilean.
Yes, yeah.
He snaps for him.
Snaps for being really white. But yeah, he was actually, it's a really good video. It's him just like talking Spanglish.
Yeah, Spanglish slang. I learned a lot of really good slang words, like sandwich is sandwich.
Sandwich.
Am I saying that?
Sandwich. Yeah, you said that right. And thank I learned you. That lonche is not a real word.
No, it means lunch, but it's like not.
It's an American word that they just, the yes. bastardization. Or it got better, excuse me, lonche.
Yeah, lonche.
It's like troca. It's not a word. Not a word, y'all.
It's so much better.
Parquear, also not a word.
Chequear.
Chequear. Woo. See, that took a look. I was grown by the time I found out that wasn't a word. So, we out here.
You know what? I support it.
Yeah. Your favorite word. What's your favorite word? There's one word he mentioned.
My favorite word, wakala. you're just like up to here, and I'm just going to fucking wakala.
Wakala, cabrona. Wakala.
Coming after you.
The sound effect, bro.
They're coming.
Also, there's like this thing. It's controversial, guys. This is my motherfucking hot take, okay? Take it or leave it. But VapoRub is not what you say. It's called Vicks, okay? We say Vicks up in these parts. I don't know. I hear it a lot, and I'm confused. And I just know we all came from different mamas in different regions of the world because I always say Vicks. So.
Yeah. Vicks is not really a thing that we used in my house. I call it petroleum jelly.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Sorry, my white girl is showing. Petroleum yes. jelly. Can you go to the store and pick up some petroleum jelly for
okay,
me?
Okay, Madison. Calm down now, my Madison.
My lips are really dry right now. My nail bends are terrible.
Oh, my God. Sorry, it's glowing Madison. White.
God, take it down a notch,
come on, Madison. Calm down, Madison.
Get back there. Back in your cage.
Oh, my God. Petroleum
sorry
jelly.
To everybody named Madison.
Going back to Asian rep, we really yes, get off topic
okay,
very
so
easily.
Really interesting. We didn't really use VapoRub or Vicks. Sorry, Vicks, petroleum jelly, whatever you want to call it. So there's this thing that my mom used to do when I was younger. When I would get a stomach ache, she would like lay me down and like kind of rub my belly and sing a little Korean song.
So soothing.
What did she say? It was like "Beya beya nara, 엄마 손이 약손이다," which literally translates to "Stomach, stomach, get better. Mom's hand is the medicine."
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, so just imagine yourself so as like a fucking 5 or 6 or 7 year old, and you're like, "Mommy, I have a stomach ache." And she's like, "Okay, honey, don't worry." She just lays you down, you're tucked into your little bed, and she sits next to you, and she's got like her hand rubbing on your belly and your you know, back, and maybe her hand is on your head, and she's staring lovingly into your eyes and singing the song, "Peya, peya, nara, 엄마 손이 약손이다," and just like over and over
that
and over.
That is so again. Soothing, by the way. I literally closed my eyes while you said that, and I was like, bitch, yes, this is my jam.
But then she fucking gets you, because then she pulls out her fucking thread and needle.
Oh, what the fuck?
And she's like, "It's time for blood, bitch." Ah! And so she... And so what happened normally is my mother would bend your thumb maybe 90 degrees and then wrap a thread on the bottom part of your thumb and then take the needle that has been sanitized, right? So
with hydrogen, the lighter.
Right, the lighter or hydrogen peroxide or a combo of that. And then literally take the needle and poke right where your knuckle is. Just poke it real hard. just fucking just pierce that skin.
Oh!
No! And just like blood will flow or it won't flow. So the idea is that like when you're sick, that your blood is like coagulated a little bit and it comes out really deep, dark red and like kind of thick. It's not like that bright red that you would get if you were like a healthy human. So she would prick your thumb and then she would do all 9 other fingers. So she would, you know, grab your middle, your pointer finger and then prick the very top of your pointer finger. Not in between the nails, because that's just torture. But like right at the top of your finger, she literally just go, fucking stab the fuck out of that bitch. And go, pop, 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 all 10 fingers. And then you would just end up with like very bloody fingers.
Wow.
But
finger painting.
Exactly. Exactly.
New meaning.
I mean, if you were a 6-year-old, it's a lot of pain.
God damn.
And needles are terrible. And I know, Cabrona, you have tattoos and I have tattoos, and it's like needles are the worst.
Big ass holes in my ear and I never look.
Yeah, terrible. Gotta look away. No one wants to see needles piercing their skin. But I mean, to my knowledge, it helped. I don't know if it was like a psychosomatic thing or if it was like a actual helping thing, but I think it's a reflexology thing. If anybody knows what that is, like your nerve endings at the end of your fingertips are like related to your gut. And so if you were to like fuck around with those and you like, I don't know, fuck around
with
your gut.
Did you just do the whoa? She just did the whoa.
I did the whoa.
Shout out South Oak Cliff.
Is that from Oak Cliff? I thought that was Houston.
It's from South Oak Cliff. Boo.
I've been lied to. Twitter lied to me.
Twitter always lies.
Twitter's a fucking liar.
If they're not writing you 5 fucking like Twitter threads on the meaning of like literacy, then it's wrong.
Someone told me that it was from Houston.
Nope. South Oak Cliff, boo.
Those fucking Twitter heads.
He shouted out South Oak Cliff and I was like, hey, that's where. Anyways, yeah, I'm really excited about
it. Sorry,
nothing.
Quick side note about the whoa. I went to a bar recently that my friend was DJing at, and one of my friends came up to me. She's a little drunk. She came up to me. She was like, what's that dance? I was trying to tell these idiots what this dance is. You're like waving your arms in front of your face and you do like a little wiggle. And she's just like really weird thing with her body. It wasn't really the whoa. She's just kind of like swinging her arms and like doing like a little head bobble. And I was like, are you talking about the whoa?
Was she white?
She's half white.
Ooh.
She's half white, half Asian.
Mm.
And she was like, you know what it is? I'm like, yeah, the whoa. And I did the whoa. And she was like, yes, that's exactly it. And so we're like going throughout the night. We're drinking. And then it becomes the woo instead of the whoa. And her version is like, she does a little like fist thing where she does the thing. And then she like bobbles her head. It's actually so cute. And she's just going around. She's like, this is the woo. Bobble.
That's adorable.
And it's really cute, and she's very cute, and it works for her.
Because she does really, this. Really funny. Yeah, I couldn't get away with that. I would just, oompa loompa my way around. That's not how that works. But that's cute.
Yeah, sorry.
That's adorable.
So now I'm like spreading the gospel of the whoa, but incorrectly, apparently.
Yes, South Oak Cliff. Yes.
Stop lying to me, Twitter. Twitter.
Fucking Twitter. They're not that woke as they claim. But yeah, and then another thing I did want to discuss outside of like bloodletting children.
Bloodletting!
Let's bloodlet children. I mean, nothing wrong with that. If it works, it works.
It fucking works.
You know, like they fucking rub our entire bodies if like you're Latino in like Vicks. If you're sick, if you have a headache, if like you're hot, if you're cold. If you sneeze twice, if you didn't wear chanclas inside the house, like you can Vicks down.
Wait, why would you wear chanclas in the house?
I don't. See, I'm barefoot in the house.
Yeah, Asian household, bro. Why bringing in that dirty ass shit into my house?
Yeah,
no, thank you.
Especially wood floors? What?
Trash.
You gotta clean that.
Everybody needs to take your shoes off before you enter your abode.
Okay, then cleaning wood floors is a bitch, okay? Socks and feet only.
Thank you very much. Do not track that dog shit into my house.
Not because I'm Asian, but because mom cleaned houses, okay?
Yes. This
so
goes beyond
much work.
Asian households. Everybody, literally everybody who has feet should not be walking in the house with shoes on. That's just like the rule of law.
And I say this while I have shoes on.
I also have shoes on. We all have shoes on, so don't use us as examples.
Don't, no, we're terrible at this. Going back to what little Asian rep has been happening in media, like there's nothing. I think there's Fresh Off the Boat, which Eddie Huang doesn't even like. He's not even a fan of it. He said he said he didn't even want it to get made that way.
Right.
And we recently, this is old now, Constance Wu had like a little bit of a thing on Twitter where she straight up was like, fuck this, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yes.
Now everyone's deciding to drag Constance Wu after she was your favorite.
Everyone needs to get off of Constance Wu's back because she's amazing.
She's amazing.
And she can do whatever the fuck she wants.
She wants to complain, she can complain.
She's a human being. She's not a fucking robot. Like, everybody hop off her dick.
Hop off that dick.
She got that BDE. So everybody need to get off that fucking BDE, all right? But no, I was on Twitter, mm-hmm.
The devil's website. My favorite.
I love the devil's website. Satan only. So much. God. We need to have a side conversation about Twitter for a second. Yes. But okay. So Constance Wu released a statement about, you know, the comments that she made when Fresh Off the Boat was renewed.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, guys, I'm a human. I had a bad day that day, and I really wanted this other amazing project that would have challenged me as an artist, as an actor, and I really wanted to, like, dive deep into this project. But because Fresh Off the Boat was renewed, I was released from the project because the timing would be...
She lost the job, yeah.
Right. And she was... You know, and she explained it in a way that made a lot of sense. Like, as an artist, you want to be able to challenge yourself, you know, as a person, she wants to be challenged, you know?
She's done more dramatic roles, like in The Feels, which she actually played queer. Like, it was a little bit more dramatic, a little bit more about challenge, sexuality, about orgasming. Have you seen that movie? It's called The Feels. It was on Netflix. She was queer in it, boo.
I think I did. She had a girlfriend and they like went on a camping trip, which is so gay, by the way.
No, they had like a joint, like they were getting married. They had a joint bachelorette party. That's so fucking
But it was like out
gay.
In the mountains.
It was
right?
out in the mountains, but yeah. It was like a cabin.
Yeah. Yes.
They had a joint bachelorette party. That's
yes, I remember
gay.
This. That's so, guys, that's like the gayest thing and
not
I love
doing,
it so
I
much.
I refuse to do that with Flo. We are not doing that together. I'm taking my two friends, going to Vegas, and not remembering anything.
That's also really gay, dude.
What?
Going to Vegas with your friends? That's gay as fuck.
I mean, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Duh. Come
Super
on.
Gay.
Okay.
Super gay.
It's just some things are just really gay. Like going to Vegas for a bachelorette party, going to a cabin to do a joint bachelorette party is gay, guys. And that's amazing.
I refuse to do it.
We should just cordon off cabins for bachelorette season.
I'm sure they've already began marketing this to lesbians. I'm sure. I'm 1,000% sure.
I'm sure that all LA lesbians have already cordoned off all of Runyon Canyon for their joint bachelorette parties.
God, they've already done it. And they're there. Oh my God, this is so gross. Anyways.
Yes, Constance Wu is amazing. She can do what she wants. If she wants to complain about the fact that she missed out on an amazing role that she really wanted to do, then she can fucking complain. Like, I don't know what the problem is. Like, let her fucking live her life.
Dude, I recently watched Crazy Rich Asians 2 times this week. Twice. I almost fucking cried both times.
Blessing you.
And I have no idea why I hated it the first time. Well, no, I do, because it's cheesy, right? And it's super straight.
Sure.
But then, like, watching it again, I was like, this isn't straight. I'm going to make it gay. You know, Gemma Chan mm-hmm. is queer. She's in love with Constance Wu's character. Mm-hmm. This is how it works for me. I'm going to just say that to myself while I watch it. But it was actually really awesome. And it was every rom-com dream I've had, you know, since like 1998 for there to be like all Asian people other than Saving Face. There was a straight version. It was cute.
Yeah.
It was all right.
I was
into it.
I really enjoyed it first off just because it was like a really lighthearted movie. So the thing about rom-coms is like I feel like people really read into it. Way too much.
It's not that deep.
It's a fucking rom-com, everybody. It's just a story about love, you know, and sometimes love can be lighthearted and great and fun and like a little painful sometimes, but it doesn't have to be this like...
But see, that's the thing. Like, the movie wasn't really about love to me. It was more like a power dynamic between like Constance Wu's character and like the mother-in-law.
Oh,
and
I thought that's
what
true.
The movie was really about to that's me. So that's true. Why I really like it. Like, it wasn't really about their love or him at all. It was just like, look that's at all these true. Really, really, really rich people. True. And another thing that was I thought was gross every single time I saw the movie was just the wealth. Mm-hmm. I thought that was gross. I thought it was disgusting because, like, I saw the amount of people they had working in their homes. I saw how sure. much money they were spending. I saw the music they were listening to. And no matter where you go in the world, your wealth is always going to be directly linked to your whiteness, to how willing you are to be white, to separate yourself from any other ethnicity. Like, say they were like listening to jazz. They were like swing dancing, listening to like, and I get it. All of us are like layered. Everyone can listen to whatever they want, but like globally, the idea of wealth is how like close you can get to whiteness. And sure. that was just really, like, annoying to me when I watched it.
Sure.
Every single time. I was like, yeah. ew, they're, like, all named, like, James and, like, Charles and, like, have British accents.
Yeah.
I mean, they are British, but still, it was...
Are they?
Yeah, what's his name? The leading dude? He's, like,
Henry Golding. Golding.
Yeah.
That's his name, yeah.
Henry Golding. He's, like, British, and so is Gemma Chan.
I did not know that.
They're both British. Gemma Chan was also queer in, like, Dates. With
didn't watch that.
Oh, girl.
Sometimes I listen to your podcast and I realize that I'm like a really bad queer person, and I also am like a really bad Asian sometimes. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I'm like, God, I should be like more involved in this community. But I just like
I'm not involved. I just had a lot of free time, and so I just Google things.
Maybe I should just like watch more queer shit.
Yeah, I literally just only watch gay things, and that's why Crazy Rich Asians is hard for me.
At this point, like, if there's no like queer storyline to some degree in your TV show or movie, I'm talking to you, Hollywood.
Yes.
Then it's not worth pursuing. People want to see gay storylines. All right.
Thank you.
That's what they want to see. Even if you straight, that's what they want to see. Because
Yeah.
Every straight person is a little bit gay.
Yeah. Yeah. These are facts. Like, all y'all are a little gay out here. And that's okay.
Everyone is... You got
Joe's nodding his head. He agrees.
Yeah. Everyone's at least like 0.1% gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't even deny yourselves like that. Just live your gayest life for like a little bit and then like go back to being straight. It's totally fine.
Yeah. Ain't we won't judge you.
Ain't nobody coming out here trying to like fucking put you burned at the stake and like...
Not anymore.
It's not the Salem witch trials. Not anymore.
Not in this country, at least. I mean, other countries, you're fucked. But not here.
Not in this. Not that we know of.
Fucked up country of America. We don't do that anymore.
Not that we know of.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Gemma Chan.
Good, deep. Get deep and dark real quick. Wow. Okay.
I never even thought about Crazy Rich Asians as like a classist battle because I was so focused on the rom-com part of it. But yeah, you are so right.
Yeah, like, literally all the workers were like... like Indian or Indian looking or
yes, they have much darker skin than
all of the people that work for family. Them have darker skin. Literally everyone in the service industry. I was looking at them because I was like, oh, I would be them on the corner feeding them.
Yeah.
Would not be them.
Yeah. You know, that's actually that's like a thing in Asian cultures too. Like amongst Asians. I don't know. Have you seen Ali Wong's
yes. Yeah.
Comedy special?
Yes, I have.
And she talks about like jungle Asians and like classy Asians. I honestly, until I had seen her comedy special, did not know that jungle Asian was a thing. This is what I mean by like bad Asian. I don't know these things.
Well, I mean, I think she probably made it up, and what's fucked up is that we immediately understood what she meant.
Yes,
like everyone was like, oh, we know.
We know exactly what that
or
means.
Chinese, Japanese, or like Singaporean, but not like from Singapore.
Basically, anybody with like the complexion of a darker person is a jungle Asian. I just use air quotes. You can't see that, but yeah.
So I think we'll just get into, because that was probably like the longest banter we've had in a while. We'll go straight into what our subjects are today. We're going to do Kim's Convenience and Joy Luck Club. Woo! And then cry. So, which one did you want to do first? Did you want to go first?
I think we should do Joy Luck Club first, and then we'll do Kim's Convenience.
We'll cry, and then we'll end happy. Yeah, we don't want to end low. So, I gotta get my notes out, guys. I really do write these out. This is embarrassing.
She does. She has like a giant notebook out here, and it's like pages full of notes. I admire you, Cabrona, so much.
Thank you, Broza. That means the world. So, shout out to Joy Luck Club. It was written by the same person who wrote the novel. If you've heard of it, then you've probably heard of the novel. Amy Tan both is the author and the screenwriter of the movie, and it is directed by another Asian person. What? His name is Wayne Wong. He also did Made in Manhattan, classic, fucking classic.
Is
I love
the
Made
J-Lo
in
Manhattan movie.
Yes, that is the J-Lo movie.
Oh my God!
Talk about, you know, housekeeper representation.
Throwback.
Rep matters, guys. Okay, my mom didn't wear a stupid outfit though. Anyways, this was Joy Luck Club. I think was the first like all Asian movie that was like a huge Hollywood production. It came out in 1993. It took until Crazy Rich Asians to have like a full Asian cast in like 2018. When did Crazy Rich?
2018.
Yeah. So within that time, there hasn't been like a huge Hollywood movie with that kind of budget.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is going on, right?
Insane, guys. We exist.
Wow.
We are here, and some of us are queer, and we are ready to party. I don't know. I don't mean like second tier American citizens, because if you look up any statistics about Asian Americans, we're literally always almost first.
Oh, shit.
Almost white.
Oh.
Almost privileged. Oh. That's why the stereotype of model minority exists.
Oh, God.
Shout out all my Asians. Ever being compared and fuck. Being like, you're the best at math, or you play the violin, oh. or you're such a perfect student.
Do people automatically assume you're good at math? Like, is that like a real thing? Like,
are you fucking kidding me? People try to cheat off me in math. I failed the STAR test in the sixth grade. I had to repeat sixth grade math.
Oh, no.
I'm terrible at math.
Oh, no. Did you get your ass whooped for that?
My mom gave me the silent treatment for 3 days, dude. I'm not even kidding you right now. That is the memory of me being ignored by my mother for 3 days because I failed. Well, it is known as STAR now, but was the tax test.
Oh, God.
In the sixth grade, I failed, and my mom was mad at me. I mean, really, it's not that hard of a test, so I was really fucking stupid. But I like
your trauma right now.
That's I'm trauma. Reliving my trauma for everybody here. I hope you all appreciate it. If there are any other Asians bad at math, like, I am with you.
Hashtag bad what? Asian math. I don't know. I tried to do the thing.
Hashtag solidarity.
Solidarity.
Hashtag against math.
I fucking love that. Okay, so this movie is kind of about generational trauma and failing your fucking mother. This isn't that different. In fact, every
it's single a little deeper
story,
than failing the tax test.
It's way deeper than failing the tax test. A lot of it is about failing your mother.
Yeah.
Or failing everything at life and self-love. There's so many themes in this movie that I do want to talk about, but I want to get into first is that my boo, my love, my wife, she don't know it, but we married. Ming-Na is in this movie, and she's the fucking lead, okay? She plays June.
Or June-May.
June-May. And I'm in love with her, and I've been in love with her since I saw this movie, and she's also been Mulan. She's the voice actor for Mulan.
Amazing.
And she's amazing, and snaps for her forever. And she does amazing in this movie. She plays like a failed daughter of an immigrant mother, and I fucking related to that in a level mm-hmm. that I can't even mm-hmm. begin to see in another movie. There's a lot of themes about repression, miscommunication between mother and daughter, and it's kind of ironic we're recording this the day before Mother's Day. I know it's not when it comes out, but there's a lot of really hard conversations that are happening that need to happen, and some that never get to happen. Ming-Na's character never gets to have that conversation with her mother, because at the very beginning, when you watch this movie, spoiler alert, it's been out since 93, her mother passes away, and there seems to be a lot that she doesn't know about her own mother, that her aunties, her tias are having to tell her and explain to her about who her mother was.
Sure.
And this is kind of the story of every mother and their daughter, and I think it's fucking beautiful just because I'm a daughter of an immigrant, and this movie was what helped me bond with my mother and the book as well. I watched the movie and then immediately read the book, and I think my mother always related to Ming-Na's, her mother's character, and that she came to this country, she had lost everything, and then the only thing she brought were like her hopes and her dreams, you know? She's like, all I have is my hopes and my dreams, and a hope that my daughter is going to have a better life than me. Mm. You know, hope that whatever I bring and whatever I can give, that they carry it on. And there's a lot about, like, keeping traditions and, you know, Latinos. And apparently in this movie, Asians have a lot. I don't know, right? We try to carry those traditions and how hard that is. While they both want us to assimilate, we lose some of our culture. We lose some of our identity. And we are American versus them, who are very much not American. And what that means to be an immigrant. And I can't understand. I can't fathom it. In just the same way that Ming-Na's character can't fathom her mother in so many ways. And she never gets to actually have that conversation. Everyone's finding closure. And what did you think about this movie? I loved it, personally, because it's just so personal for me.
I had to take a break halfway through this movie. So I watched the first hour with a friend who's also Korean. And halfway through the movie, we were both like, you know, I just need a break from this. This is like a lot. This is like a lot to take in because we're both children of immigrants. Her parents actually moved back to here, but like I'm a child of immigrants. You know, they moved here in the 80s. They've officially lived in America longer than they've ever lived in Korea. And so I took a break and watched Kim's Convenience for a little bit to light the mood. And then went back to Joy Luck Club. And I didn't realize that the second half was going to be devastating.
In a way,
just like, I mean, the whole movie is just like, it will like crush you. Figuratively, not literally.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's not a thing.
But tears are real.
Yes, tears are real. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think when I watched this movie, I was really distracting myself a lot by like paying attention to my dog or looking at my phone or like, I don't know, doing stupid shit and like, focusing on other things because I didn't want to recognize, you know, the relatable content that was in this movie of being a daughter of an immigrant. And
it's a little too close, right?
It's too close. It's way too close. I feel like it's my fucking sister or something. It's just, it's like in your face. I mean, this movie does not shy away from the horrors and the tragedies of moving from one country to another in hopes of finding something better. I mean, if you guys ever watched this movie or have watched this movie, then you'll know that some of the things that they've escaped, the mothers particularly have escaped, are just like
impossible insane situations. Yeah.
I mean, you would, I mean, impossible, truly you would think impossible, but probably not.
It's probably the reality of a lot of
way
people.
More common than you would think, you know. It touches on everything that you would ever expect from an immigrant family, and like outside of it being like Asian centric, I mean Chinese centric, really
Chinese centric, yeah,
it's super relatable for anybody who's an immigrant child or second generation. It's intense.
What I found to be like too intense and too close to home was the way that the daughters and mothers interacted. The daughters were speaking English and the mothers were often not speaking English. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like this bilingual conversation that we're used to and other people probably would think is weird, but I thought that felt really real to me too. Like, my mother talks Spanish to me, I talk to her in English. And then there was these conversations of like, I know Waverly was a chess champion as a child. And then for some reason she got mad at her mom because her mom was just proud of her. You know, she's like, hey, I have this daughter who's good at something. I'm going to fucking wave that flag as high as I can and be embarrassing. And Waverly instead insults her mom, fucking tells her she hates her. And she's like five
never
or six.
Never playing chess again.
Never playing chess again.
And she doesn't understand it.
No, she can't even begin to fathom why her mom is that joyful, is that boisterous. Like, she should be. Fuck it. Right?
Yeah,
be that
she
proud.
Should be.
Be that proud of your child.
That poor 6-year-old, though, is like, in her eyes, she just sees like this overbearing mother who's putting all this unnecessary pressure on the daughter to be this like amazing chess champion. And it's like kind of embarrassing for like pushing her daughter into the limelight, which for us, we can totally understand, right? Like, at this point in our lives, you can understand both sides of the argument.
Yeah, but I mean, as children, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how you're hurting your parents. And that's like, fuck, you know? And even Jun Mei's character, when she just sucks at fucking piano, like her mom wants to force her into being the best piano player ever. And she's like, I'm going to be the worst piano player ever. Like, everything her mother tells her, she tries to contradict every time. And instead, what's happening between the daughter and the mother is there's this open rejection of her mother, but her mother isn't taking it as a rebellious young kid thing. She's seeing as, you're not Chinese.
Yeah, you know, not like appreciating.
Not
the culture that you're growing up in.
You know, you're betraying your own culture. You're letting go of who we are. You're betraying me. You're not proud of me. And that's fucking heavy when you're a child of an immigrant, because I'm sure we've all done it. We've all been like, oh, I'm not going to speak Spanish, or I don't want to eat tacos today. And it's just, it's, you hurt people in ways that you can't even fathom it because you're choosing not to be like them. Yeah. And that's what this whole movie is. It's just them rejecting their parents' identity, and that's super heavy, and that's a really, really hard thing to like see when you get older, because I know I've done it.
Oh, absolutely. I am basically Jun Mei, because I did play the piano as a child. I played for a long time, actually, about 8 years I played piano.
You played piano?
And I did do piano recitals, and I fucking hated them. So much pressure to like play well. Mm-hmm. And so and I also played the, I played a lot of instruments, guys. I played the cello as well.
Oh, shit.
And I think my mom had always hoped that I would become this like musician because my family is musically inclined on my dad's side. And so I was good at it. You know, I played the piano well, I played the cello well, but I hated it. I absolutely, every fiber of my being hated playing the piano and the cello. I also played the clarinet in high school. I was a fucking nerd. I played the clarinet and I just like, I was good at
You'd
it.
You'd have been cool in like a hood ass high school. You would have been like a jock, honestly.
Maybe I should have.
You should have gone to a hood ass school. You would have been in like, you still would have been playing band. You probably would have just played like at Prairie View.
I would have been
Grambling.
Cool.
You would have been like the only Asian like, yeah, like clarinet.
I really wanted to fucking play drums. I wanted to be drum. I wanted to be Nick Cannon. Sorry.
That would have been Lydia.
That would have been Lydia. Yeah, right. But I wasn't because I went to a majority white school and I played clarinet in a band. So yeah,
not the Beyonce kind of band. You're definitely playing in that Taylor Swift band.
Yes, I'm playing in that Taylor Swift ass band, y'all. Wearing all pink, trying to be Beyonce's band, but not quite reaching that level.
Yeah,
it's like in Korea we have this saying, 이프로 부족해. When you're like meeting somebody who's kind of like, you're really cool, but there's something, you need a little zhuzh, you need a little pepper in your life. And you say, it literally means lacking 2%.
Lacking 2%?
2%.
Damn, like you 98% something?
Yes. That sucks. So like if you meet somebody cool and you're like, you're so cool, but there's just a little...
You're a little off, bitch.
You're little bit off. You say you're lacking 2%.
You're unseasoned.
Exactly. Yes. That's Taylor Swift's band. Sorry.
Thanks. Okay,
that was a sidebar. we were being really heavy. But yeah, so I mean, I can understand that. Like when I was growing up, I really wanted to... I once broke my clarinet because I was angry at it and I didn't want to play it. So I literally was like, boop, 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 fuck this. And just like destroyed it. And I started crying because I was like, oh my God, what did I do? Like my mom's going to kill me. Like they're so expensive. Like I can't believe I did this. And I had a meltdown. We had to call my clarinet instructor at the time to come and like fix it so that I could like practice. I felt so bad immediately after I threw it on the ground and broke it. I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. Like I'm the worst daughter ever. Like I've fucked shit up. Like I can't believe I just did this. But I mean, that was what it was. I mean, I would try to do these things and be this person, but
it feels impossible to be able to meet those like standards though. And I think like most kids of immigrants can feel that. Like it's impossible to meet the standard that, but it's also like you can't even fathom what they've given up or how hard it was for even to get to this country, and you're just like here chilling, fucking eating Doritos, watching TV, and they're like, yes, what the fuck? By your age I had 3 jobs and like I'm gonna put all this pressure on you.
You're fucking eating your sandwiches.
And it's just like you can't even, and I'm never going to be able to fathom like what my mother had to go through as a child and how different my life is. Like I can't, it's just, it's impossible. I can empathize, but I'm not going to understand.
Sure.
And that's something my mom's always told me. She's like, you just don't get it. Like you didn't have to immigrate here. You don't understand what it means. And so I think a lot of this movie's about understanding what that means, or about daughters finally, like I feel like everyone works through their generational trauma by actually having a conversation and letting down these walls with their parents and their mother specifically. Yeah. And it gets even heavier. There's points where it's like about self-worth and self-love. And I think I honestly pulled a lot of my self-love from that one story in the movie where she got a divorce and the husband's like, I just wanted you to want things for yourself.
Yeah,
I didn't want you to want things for me.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah, and I was like, what the... I read this when I was like 12.
Yeah.
And it hit me in a way that when I got older that I needed to hear. And so this movie's fucking heavy. And another thing I noticed is that the POC pain. Fuck me. Like, we don't get to have movies where we're fucking happy.
No.
Like,
I mean, we had to wait from 93 to 2018 to get a movie where Asian people were happy, or a person of color in general to be happy.
Yeah. Let's have some joy in that. That's bitch.
Fucking it was bullshit.
So fucking hard. Like, I feel like they don't want to see our stories unless they talk about, oh, let's talk about your suffering. Let's talk about how hard it was for you to get here in your life before you came to America and how everything's perfect here, which that's bullshit.
That's
as well.
That's not true at all.
That's not the fucking truth. It's shitty here too, but at least it's shitty in a different way. I don't know. I'm not going to know. I'm not from Mexico. So, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Like, this movie just means a lot to me.
Yeah, Cabrona's having, like, a fucking fit over here over this movie. But it's a good one because it's good. Like, that's what the movie is for. And I mean, I was Wikipedia-ing this movie while I was watching it because I'm a freak.
No, and go for it. I did it, too.
I was reading through the reception. Uh-huh. And, you know, they have that section where they talk about, like, what the critics say and what it's out of in Rotten Tomatoes and all that stuff. And I was reading, and it was, like, Tiber, Emmanuel, whatever, some other man name. I don't know.
Dudes. Yes.
Yes.
Dudes.
And they were, like, Tiber specifically sticks with me. He's a critic at some big magazine. I don't fucking know, whatever. And gave this movie a C+.
Wait, what?
Yeah, gave this movie a C+ because he said that it showed men in a bad light.
Oh my God. You mean it showed men in honest light?
Oh my God. I'm so sorry that your dick is so tiny. Fuck off, dude. This movie was not made for white men. Mm-mm. If you haven't seen it, obviously it's not made for white men, or else it would be white men in it. This movie is made for women, first off.
Yeah.
Women of color.
Yes.
Women of immigrants. Women who are immigrants. Asian people. Specifically Chinese people.
Specifically Chinese people.
I mean, I'm not Chinese, but I can understand the immigrant story, and Cabrona can understand the immigrant story. Like, this is not made for white people. So regardless of you giving it a C+, it's still a movie worth watching. So Ty Burr, you can go shove that C+ up your asshole so far that you get lost in it. Okay? Fuck you.
Fuck you,
I was
Tiber.
So mad reading
his
that.
Name's Tiber. Fuck you, bro.
Ty.
You don't even count.
T-Y. His name's Ty and his last name's Burr.
Burr. Ty Burr.
Ty.
Fuck you, Ty.
Fuck you. I mean, honestly, are you appropriating Thai culture, Ty?
Honestly, every, like, dude's story in this was, like, every man was toxic in here. Every motherfucking dude except the dude they ended up with was fucking toxic. But let's be real. That's fucking true.
It's true.
That's real shit. Like, he every beats you. Man. He's an alcoholic. He's fucking, I don't know.
They're all, yes, they're this all fucking movie. Trash. They're all heart garbage.
And that's why every single woman in here had, like, so much generational trauma, sometimes caused by other women. Like, a lot of it was caused by other women.
It's because it's like that upholding
the patriarchy.
Yes, that relative bullying that women go through that apparently men don't understand. That's what women go through, that relative bullying where they just, like, are sneaky and mischievous about the way that they use their power dynamics.
I mean, the women were upholding patriarchy and that, you know, you have to serve your man. You're supposed to make babies. You're supposed to be, like, a servant to us. And that's just, like, what the fuck? That's real, though. I think that's real in any culture in the world. The fucking world. Like, women were here to, like, serve. And it's just this idea of, like, women being worthless and women not having value. And every single one of these women in this movie have to find their value. And that's, like, super fucking gotcha to, like, watch, because the reality is that, like, those, like, it's painful to watch the reality of that, because we see it every day. We see it in the women we know. We see it in our family. And so I give this movie 5 pan dulces. I love it. I honestly cry and send it to my mom all the time. And there's this thing about a feather. I'm not going to cry right now. But, 5 fucking pan dulces for it. What did you think?
I will say, if you are sensitive, I would recommend taking a break in between this movie. I mean, I will say that I did take a break. I work in mental health. I was trained as a counselor. And so anything that has to do with very heavy, like, assault or, sorry, trigger warning, there's, like, a sexual assault, there's rape scenes, there's, like, a lot of, like, really shitty things happening in this movie. So just beware. If you have anything that you need to, like, kind of make sure that you are safe. Yeah. Make sure you're safe before you watch this movie. Make sure you feel comfortable diving into this movie, because it's not a movie that you turn on a Saturday night with your girlfriend.
Oh.
That's not what this is.
No.
It's not a movie that you would do that with. I mean, 5 bottles of kimchi in honor of my Asianness.
Hey.
5 bottles of kimchi for this movie, for content, for relatability, for fucking showing off an immigrant story in 1993. Okay, think about that.
The That's fucking crazy.
Also, side note, this movie is so 90s.
Oh.
Another way that I distracted myself. Bitch.
Yo, Ming Na was styling, though.
Yes. I wanted every single one of those outfits. Wanted them. They were so hot. They're so hot. Super on it. Love the fashion in this movie because 90s are in right now. But anyway, back to the point of this movie. 5 bottles of kimchi for content, for relatability, for immigrant stories. God forbid we show men in a bad light. Oh, my Lord Almighty.
Suck a dick.
But yeah, I mean, it was great. But make sure that you're safe. Make sure that you feel safe. You are in a safe space. That you're with people who will, like, be there for you to help you maybe process the movie. I think these are all really good steps to take before you dive in. It's pretty sad,
like, all day. Because
it's intense. I mean, there's a good ending. It's very, very hopeful in the end. There's a very good, hopeful ending, but to get there, it will take some time.
Yeah, and it's, point blank. You need lots of hugs. Be there for the
lots of love, lots of hugs. Hugs and love. Lots of besos. Abrazos.
Abrazos y besos.
Oh, love it.
Okay, so, and to change the subject into something way fucking lighter and way better.
Oh my God, so much lighter.
We're going to talk about fucking joy.
Yes. So speaking of that POC pain, dude, get out of here tonight.
Let's talk about motherfucking real fucking joy. Kim's Convenience.
I love this show so much. Everybody who has not watched the show has not experienced real joy.
No, you haven't.
It is the funniest shit.
It is so relatable for anyone. You do not have to be fucking Korean to love it.
Not
my
at all.
Mexican dad is basically the dad. Like, they're the same person. My dad watches it for his representation. I'm always like, Papi, look at that. Rep Matters. That's you, Papi. That's you're him. You. And he's like, yeah, I know. We wear the same things. He's good style. I was like, are you fucking, like, dead ass. Mr. Kim is my dad.
He did not say that.
Mr. Kim, no, he didn't say that, but he's like,
he has good
style. Yolo well.
Oh,
Yolo well. He's like, They're the same person, dude. Mr. Kim and my dad are the same person.
I believe
it. Yeah, they are.
Well, your dad is probably my favorite person then, because on that show, the dad is my favorite human. He truly is the best character on that show. Really, he's like number one in my life.
And let's break
it
down.
I don't need no man except
Mr. Kim.
Mr. Kim.
Let's break it down. Kim's Convenience is a 30-minute sitcom on... It's actually a Canadian show. Shout out to the Canadians for doing it right.
Shout out Maple Syrup.
Hey, Maple Syrup. And all the other weird shit.
Justin Trudeau,
who's his mother. I'll tell you off. Tell you off of this. Anyways, yeah, she a baddie. Crazy, but a baddie. Anyways, it's a 30-minute sitcom on Netflix and originally Canadian. It's about a convenience store. Mr. Kim runs it. His wife, Miss Kim, also helps run the store, does random things. They're a super Christian family. They have a perfect little daughter who's a photographer going to art school. We'll get unpack that later. And then we have the son who's a fuck up.
Unpack that as well.
We'll unpack that as well. And just kind of like the zany, crazy shit they get into. And I fucking love this show.
That's as a Korean person, mm-hmm. watching a show about a Korean family, mm-hmm. it is a fucking revelation. I seriously, like, if you are listening to this show in all seriousness, please send me any Korean centric TV shows that you have ever seen or heard of that's not fucking K-Town. That shit is trash. It's like the fucking L.A. version of Jersey Shore. Have you ever heard of it? It's not good.
Oh, no.
I don't want that. That's not real TV. That's hot garbage. Don't send that to me.
Oh, God. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, no, don't. 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 Okay. It's not good.
I feel you.
But, like, this is truly, for me, one of the very first TV shows that I've seen that is Korean-centric, that hits all the jokes and hits all the immigrant, you know, pain and suffering and all of that, but in such a like lighthearted way that it's such a joy to watch. Even the boring episodes, I love watching.
They're adorable.
I mean, I die every time.
My favorite episodes is just where, like, he can't spell anything right and neither can Miss Kim. Mr. Kim and Miss Kim have signs in their fucking store.
Yes, I just watched that episode. It's so funny. And then he has to write a letter for Gerald. And he's like, this is what I wrote. And he's like, oh, this is so honest, but it's not the letter that you wrote me. Anyway, you guys have to watch the show. It's so funny. Let's just break down the characters really quick.
Let's break them down. There's
Dad, Mr. Kim. He is the owner of the store, Kim's Convenience, and his name is Paul something Korean. Song, Hyun Song, something like that.
You're close. That's what matters.
I was really close, guys. And then there's Mrs. Kim. I don't know her name.
Mrs. Kim.
Mrs. Kim. There's Janet Kim.
We love her.
We love Janet Kim. She is my, I will say of the Kims, she's my least favorite Kim.
Same.
She's not.
Dad is always the favorite.
That cool.
Yeah.
She's kind of annoying.
She tries to be cool, and that's what's annoying.
Love Janet, but like not that much.
No.
And her, and then there's the brother, who's actually the older brother, so I guess I should have introduced him first.
Older brother.
Older brother, Jung. J-U-N-G, Jung.
Kimchi's my favorite character.
Kimchi, interestingly enough, is not Korean. Mm. Kimchi is Vietnamese. Yes.
Lies.
The brother also not Korean.
What is he?
I think he's Chinese. Oh. His name's like Simi Lu or something. Lu. His last name's Lu. And Lu is typically a Chinese last name. So
okay.
Not Korean.
The like old, Lucy.
The real Koreans in that show are like the mom and the dad and Janet.
And they're using accents. What do you feel about that? Like, how do you feel
they're
about that?
Not very good. Mm, so you okay. can tell that Mr. Kim and Mrs. Kim are both born and raised in English-speaking countries because mm-hmm. their accents that they put on, their affectations, are not realistic enough.
Mm, okay.
If you want to hear a real-ass Korean accent, go talk to a Korean person who's okay. moved here. My parents, basically. and sometimes it kind of bothers me because it's just like, why didn't you just not have an accent or have them speak in Korean to their kids? Because most of the time they're speaking English, and sometimes I'll throw Korean words in there. But realistically speaking, my parents speak English outside of the house, obviously, because we're in America. Mm-hmm. But in the house, they only speak Korean. So to me, it would have been a better, more relatable point for the parents to speak Korean if it was just them.
Mm, okay. Yeah, like that code switching thing.
Yes,
like
the code switching thing, which is so real. So real. But I mean, that's such a tiny point that I can make because like the rest of the show is
so good.
Wonderful. They hit the points on religion. They hit the points on like being conservative. They hit the points on like what it means to be an immigrant. They talk about feminism. They talk about, you
queer
know,
rights?
Power dynamic. Yeah. Oh,
that's episode one.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait, episode one where they talk about Janet and the mom, they have a conversation. She's like, why can't you find a cool Korean Christian boyfriend? Do you remember this episode?
Yes, I do.
I quote it all the time. Janet is like, they don't exist. And the mom is like, yes, they do. You got to go to church and figure them out. And she's like, mom, if they're cool and Christian, what did she say? If they're cool and Christian, they're usually girls. If they're if they're just Christian, they're like really boring. I don't know what the quote is, but it's so funny. It's like the funniest thing. And then the mom uses the term hook around.
Oh.
Instead of hook up. And the daughter is like, don't say hook around. That's not very nice. And she's like, the mom is like, if I didn't hook around with your dad, you would not have been born. I'm botching it, but it's so funny, guys. It's so funny.
And another really cool thing about this episode is like Mr. Kim gives out a gay discount.
Yes. Oh, that's right. The gay parade. The guys come in and they're like, will you put this poster up? And Mr. Kim is like, this poster is trash. Do better.
He's like, you're supposed to be gay. It's supposed to like be better designed. And yeah. I was like, word.
And the guys were like, are you being homophobic right now? And Mr. Kim is like, if I were homopebic, because he can't say the word homophobic. No. He can't say
it's, like, it's a hard word.
He's like, if I am homophobic, then why I give gay discount? 15%.
Oh my God. It's and, the best. And to quote Maitha directly, Maitha, this is for you, boo. Let's begin the quote. She's like, the very first scene highlights a common interaction between immigrants and the gay community. Gay is like interpreting disconnect as homophobia. Immigrants like believe in the notion that being quietly yourself is the only way you should be. So like, you know, the whole idea of like you need to just like blend in and assimilate.
Yes.
And these like queer people stand out all the time.
Yes. Yes. And Mr.
Kim, my mom says that to me.
Really?
Why you gotta be so gay? Oh. Why you gotta be gay all the time? She's always like, why does everything have to be gay with you? And I'm like, because I am.
Oh my God, that's so funny. My mom always asks me, like, why can't you be more feminine? I'm like,
my mom gave up on that.
I'm just trying to live my life. I think I'm pretty girly sometimes. Like, I can
You're
be.
You're way more girly than I am.
Yes. So the nice thing about the show is they take these really heavy topics like racism, homophobia, the immigrant cult, immigrant life, like growing up in second generation. They even talk about family trauma. So in the show, the father and the son have some weird family shit going on and they do not like each other. They fight all the time. And so they take these really, really heavy topics and they turn them into these really lighthearted 30-minute nuggets of joy. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. It's the funniest thing.
Because he's so just good. Like, Mr. Kim is so open-minded. And this is, again, for you, Maita, you're saying this. Mr. Kim is, like, super open-minded. He's always, like, talking. You know that whole idea that, you know, you come to this country and your fucking kid turns out to be an art student? Like,
yes, that episode. Tell me more about that episode.
And he's like, it's always that like reluctance to have your kid go into that bullshit. And that whole idea that they're going to only value hard physical labor over artistic endeavors. And it's like, ooh, did I feel that shit? My mom still calls this like my little project, my little thing I do.
Oh, no.
I love you, Mom. She's been on it. She's
shout
she's
out,
a,
Mom.
She's a real one. But she's also like, oh, when you like doing your little thing. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Maita says that, like, Mr. Kim has given her whiplash because, like, sometimes he'll surprise you.
Yes.
He's like, he has, like, super antiquated ideas. And then he goes from that to, like, well, I can be an artist. Like, check out my picture of this tree. I'm going to sell it for $20.
Yes.
And I was like, shout out Mr. Kim right now. Like,
dude, Mr. Kim, that interaction he has with the queen, that's fucking fire. That's a fire seat. That's a fire
he's
scene.
He's like, he's judging like queer people, but trans women, he seems to understand just perfectly fine.
Yeah.
He's
what
like,
the fuck?
You're beautiful.
He
like dude, checked out a trans woman and he was about it. He had like his mouth open. He was flirting with her. Yeah. He was like, hey, what's up, shorty? In front of his wife, and he almost got smacked for it. But
I mean, he gets it.
He really does.
Which is so interesting because, you know, this is great because my father also is really open-minded and socially liberal. Mm. And I don't know how much of this has to do with his actual family because my dad's side of the family is very interracial. So I have like half Mexican cousins, half Italian cousins. Like, so we're like I feel like an outlier sometimes in the Korean community because my family is more, my dad's side of the family is more liberal than you would expect from a Korean family. Mm. My parents are super very chill and very like open and very like, I mean, westernized in a sense that like they want their kids to pursue the things that they want. So
pursue,
I mean,
joy.
Yes. They were like,
versus hard work.
Right. Exactly. So like, if you find your joy, then you should work hard to find that joy instead of hard work over your joy.
Period. Yes. That's it.
Yes. And so when I was younger, I would ask them, like, what do you think I should be? And they'd be like, you know, we don't want you to be anything specific. We want you to do what makes you happy, which is really hard to find in a lot of Asian parents. You know, tiger mom is a real stereotype. I have countless stories of friends' moms who are just like, you have to do this like this. Everything has to be exactly the way that it is. You have to get straight A's. You have to blah, 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 blah. Like, countless.
You failed the math tax.
I failed tax. The math section of tax.
And yet, somehow, you're still alive.
So I know. And
I
fucking
right
survived.
That
right.
Proves it right there.
Exactly. And also, please name me Asian parents who would let their kids go into mental health.
Wow.
Like, support.
Wow.
Asian people don't. Asian people don't believe in mental health. Mm-mm. And the fact that my parents were like, "You should pursue this counseling degree if it's something that you want," I'm like, "Are you guys Asian? Are you guys for real right now?" And my sister is involved in fashion. Like, these are very like non-traditional Korean roles in the Korean community. Most Koreans are like doctor. Can you guess?
Doctor, lawyer, engineer, professor.
That's about it. That's about right. And yeah. I'm like semi-professional, semi like professor role because I'm still whatever. But but like those.
No, brag on it, girl.
Yeah,
brag on it.
I am trying to get into a PhD program, guys. If anybody has any, you know what I'm saying? Just hit me up at @_notsubtle.
Yeah, and you weren't subtle about that at all.
Yes,
I love it.
Yes.
Continue.
Yes. Okay. So yeah. So Mr. Kim's character reminds me a lot of my dad. So my dad is like really, really, really socially liberal. Do you remember Kim Davis of Kentucky?
Yeah.
So my dad, whenever that story hit that she would like not marry the gay couple, my dad came home one day and he was like, did you hear about that lady in Kentucky or Kansas or where the fuck she's from? And I was like, oh, do you mean Kim Davis? She's, what do you think? Because I didn't want to like put ideas in his head. I was like, yeah, I heard about her. What did you think? And he looks at me, he shakes his head and he goes, that lady's fucking crazy. I was like, yeah, tell me more, Dad. He's like, just fucking marry them. What's the problem? They're trying to live their lives. And I'm like,
shout out. Claps for your dad. Claps for your fucking
snaps. Claps and hugs and kisses to my father. Because he was like, who the fuck cares? They just trying to live their lives. Just fucking marry them. Give them a cake and give them a marriage license. And then be on with your life.
It's literally the bare minimum.
Yes, dad.
Go off, dad.
Go off, dad. And I even had a conversation with my mom, who's a little more conservative than he is because they are Catholic. Mm-hmm. I grew up Catholic.
I feel that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my mom's a little more conservative. And I asked my mom, like, what do you think about gay people? And she was like, oh, I don't. They're not, like, involved in my life. So I don't really. If they want to get married, I don't care. I was like, okay. I mean, that's one way of saying that. You can, you know, as you're not, like, saying down with the gays. So let's
burn all the queers.
Yeah. Salem witch trials for the gay people. She's not saying that. So I was like, I can take that. And I was like, well, tell me more. And she was like, you know, like, people are just trying to live their lives. And if they want to get married, they want to get married. And, like, it's not affecting me in any way. So why would it matter to me whether or not they get married? Like, their social justice is their social justice. And I was like, you know what? For an immigrant family, that is a huge step. And I will accept that. And I will no longer question this at all anymore.
Shout out to being both outliers in this shit.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. My parents are really strange.
Shout out to, like, that, like, generational trauma healing thing.
I know.
That's real. When your immigrant parents are able to do it, like, you kind of feel a little bit freer than, like, most people I meet, my cousins even, like, just random friends I have. I'm like, oh, you have to deal with that? Like, my dad said people hated Hillary because they hated women. My dad was, like, straight up telling people. He's like, oh, no, you just hate women. And I was like, Poppy, shout out to you.
Oh my god, Guinness.
Poppy, you know they just hate women. But, like, even my father, you know, is able to comprehend that. And that's why I'm like, Mr. Kim, my dad.
Yeah.
Representation matters out here for, like, social liberal men that are, like, dads.
Yeah.
And this is
it's just the best thing because you don't expect people like Mr. Kim to be as, you know, open as they are. So it's just really interesting to see that, and I really enjoy the show.
Do you have, like, a favorite episode so far?
Favorite episode? Definitely the first episode is the most memorable because it's about the gays. Shout out gays.
Yes.
Love us. And allies. Love you, allies. Real allies. Not that fake ass shit.
No,
I'm an ally and then say homophobic shit. Fucking
have homophobic friends.
I will fucking come for you.
Yeah.
I will come for you.
You should be scared of Brozo. What are you, like, 5'1"?
5'2".
5'2". Oh.
I'm 5'2", girl.
5'2".
5'2".
You're officially taller than me. good job.
I'll come for you.
She'll come for you.
I got words.
She'll
man.
Fuck you
Remember,
up.
I failed the tax math, but I did not fail tax English. So ooh. I got words.
Ooh. Ooh, you see them hands? She got them tiny hands. She'll come for you. She'll woe the fuck out of you. But I think that is my favorite episode as well, other than the whole love thing between Jung and his, like, manager.
Oh, Shannon.
I love Shannon.
Shannon, can we talk about her for a second?
Can we talk about the white girl in this show?
The, you know, the show is going to be amazing because there's only one white person in the entire show.
And she's a Beyonce stan. And let me tell you, she's a real one because she likes Destiny's Child.
And she's a real one because she's a freak.
Oh, is she a freak?
She's every time I watch an episode with her in it, I literally scream, Shannon is a freak.
I'm down for her, like, sexual liberation.
She's like, super sexy.
I'm gonna fuck at this work at my job in this closet for, like, a couple minutes. I'm gonna get a quickie, and I'm like, go off, Shannon.
But I will say, you need to warm up to her.
The Being first the couple episodes, girl, she's very much
really strange. You're like, why are you even on the show? You're such a fucking weirdo.
First,
I can't
you
stand
hate
you.
Her. And then as the seasons, like season two, you fucking love her. By the end of season one, you love Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, ma'am.
Honestly,
Shannon's peak is season three.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about season three. Season one and two are amazing. Season three,
amazing.
I felt like nothing happened.
Season three is so boring.
Nothing
compared
happens.
To season one and two.
I don't know why they didn't just let Jung and her, like, happen.
I don't know. Why is she dating Alejandro? Spoiler. Why is she still dating Alejandro? He's a douchebag.
He's a super douchebag.
He's a piece of poop.
And yet Jung is just, like, amazing. And they have everything in common. They want to go skydiving together. They belong together.
Yeah.
I don't like ship straight people. people ever.
But I want Jung and Shannon to be together. I want their faces to touch. I want them to be together like fucking what's like fucking I don't even know. I can't even
describe. I want their faces to touch. I'll look away, but I want them to touch.
I'm gonna watch.
Ooh, look at you, voyeuristic.
Yes, anyway, shipping Jung and Shannon.
Only straight people that deserve it.
Did you pick up on a little bit of a queer vibe on Janet with that black girl?
Yes! Bitch! Yes! Bitch! Girl! When they fucking randomly pecked, I was like, is this... Yes.
Yes.
This
got better. That birthday episode. That
random peck. So Janet apparently only got interesting when she like pecked another woman for like half a second. The other woman is annoying, but I will put up with anything if there's women kissing each other involved.
I really think that Janet should be questioning at this point.
I think she just should just.
That would just make her character so much more interesting. She's honestly so boring. She's great, but she's so boring. She's
so boring. I want her to like stop dating dudes. Start orgasming on a regular basis, and that's how you're gonna get it, honey, with a woman.
Yes, ma'am.
So honestly, she'd be more interesting if she was like fucking girls. But let's see what they do at season 4. It got renewed.
Amazing.
I think
I want more Kim's Convenience.
Shit. I'm talking shit. I'm not sure.
We don't know, but if they do, amazing. Yes, manifestation is real. The secret is real. Everybody, if you have any hopes or wishes, make sure you think about them every day. And imagine yourself in that position every day. That's how I got into school.
Cynthia wants money. I think about it every day.
It's manifesting. It's
manifesting.
It's raining money right now on you, Cynthia.
Got ticker my mama. Anyways, so I would give this show, again, 5 fucking pan dulces. Just get a bag of pan dulce and just watch this movie. Get a fucking like 3 conchas, like... 3 empanadas and just go for it. Just fucking binge watch the fuck out of this.
Amazing.
It's this joy that we need right now. And there's this openness to Mr. Mm-hmm. Kim that we never really get to see in men. And
he's for us, amazing.
For us to be saying that a man is amazing, first off, he has to be.
Yeah. Mr. Kim truly will be one of your all-time favorite characters of all TV. He's the best. He's so funny, guys. He's just like the funniest human.
He's representation for like all the cool ass dads out in the world.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And season 4 is definitely greenlit. Shout out to Joe with the facts.
Shout out Joe.
You're a real one when you be Googling shit.
That's why he rolls with the lesbians. What is it? Vamos a roll?
Vamos a roll.
Vamos a roll with the lesbians, bro.
I just taught Brosa what my cousins say every time they get bored on a Saturday night and they're drunk already. It's y'all know what the el roll is. So, how many would you give it?
I would rate this 4.5 bottles mm-hmm. of kimchi.
For season 3 being boring.
Yeah, season 3 is kind of a little lame. It's a little lame. I hope season 4, Janet is gay. That's my hope for season 4. I actually wanted to switch it up a little bit. I didn't want to do bottles of kimchi. I would say 4.5 bags of shrimp chips.
Ooh.
If anybody is allergic to shellfish, do not get these chips. For everybody else, go to H Mart, go to the chip section, and look for a red bag mm-hmm. with a picture of a shrimp, mm-hmm. and they are literally called shrimp chips. They are delicious.
I fucking love that. That's just what the fuck they're called. I'm into it.
They have regular style, and then they have spicy.
Ooh.
If you feeling spicy, go for spicy. Ooh,
if you feeling seasoned, boo.
If you feeling real seasoned, go for the spicy. Those are my favorite.
I fuck with that.
Yeah, so 4.5 bags of shrimp chips. Make sure you take those with you when you watch Kim's Convenience and just like have a fucking ball with it, man.
Okay, so where can all the CYC listeners find you?
You can find me on Instagram @_notsubtle, NOTSUBTLE, not subtle. I am on Twitter, but I have like 22 followers.
Hey, so get that follower count up.
This is like shameless PSA and also clout building right now.
Yes, get that clout.
Find me on Twitter. I don't know what my Twitter handle is.
Oh, one moment.
I think it's No Chill, which is my previous Instagram handle, but I'm not sure, guys.
Yeah, it's @_in0, like the number, chill.
No Chill, yes.
And Brosa.
Yeah, Brosa. I really just like to scroll through Twitter. I won't be as active, but on Instagram, I post a lot of stories. I'm a huge baking aficionado. No, that's the wrong word. I'm a huge baking nerd, and I love baking, and I post a lot of stories about baking. And
she bakes very well, you guys.
I'm eating the food. Thank you so much. I make vegan and gluten-free and full-ass, fat-ass desserts.
Ooh, yes, the best kind.
Yeah, and I sometimes do it drunkenly, which are one of my favorite things to do. I have yet to do that because I'm a little embarrassed. Okay,
drunk kitchen, we see you.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Yeah, find me on Instagram, find me on Twitter. Also, if you have a Switch, shout out.
Come find her. She'll give you that friend code.
Shout out, Switch. I'll give you friend code. DM me.
Gang, gang. So, and for everybody else, you know where to find us. Make sure to rate and review. 5 stars, 5 stars only. Rate us on iTunes, guys. For some reason, that matters more to other people, to the white men. So, give us 5 stars only, por favor. And you can find us at... Yes, down with the white men. You can find us at cabronasychingonas.com. We literally, the first thing that, you know, type that in. There's another song called Cabronas y Chingonas. It was inspired by us. It's very sexist. Obviously. Very, very sexist. Don't listen to it if you hate it. You can find us at CYC Podcast on Instagram. You can find us at CYC Podcast on Facebook. Go like us if you still do that Facebook thing. Find us on Twitter, Cabronas CYC Podcast on Twitter. Again, you can find me at Fried Papita on Twitter, and my Instagram doesn't really matter. I don't care. Y'all, be good, be great, love each other. And bye.
Bye.